So over the past few weeks, we've been looking at some characters for the Christmas story that we maybe don't look at so often, but we've kind of reached that point where we're now starting to look at some of the main players. So I think the decision I took this year was to take a long run at Christmas. So rather than trying to cram it over the last couple of weeks, we've taken a run through with some of the Christmas characters. So we've looked at Zechariah, John the Baptist, who aren't normally part of the Christmas story. And then last week looked at Joseph, who definitely is a central character in the Christmas story. And today I just want to touch on a couple of things about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And last week, I hadn't actually thought of this until I was preaching it last week, but when we spoke about Joseph last week, I spoke a lot about character, about the difference between having a reputation and having character. Yeah, remember that? Right? Yeah, encourage me, people, right? You were listening. And actually, what I remember, like, I think in the first week I said, I've called this series Christmas Characters because I couldn't think of a better name for it. But as I was speaking last week and I saw the title at the top of my page and we started talking about Joseph's character, I actually realized that this is about the character of the people in the Christmas story. But when we look at all the people, through Zechariah, you know, through the mistakes that he made, you know, and not believing the angel's message about I'm going to have a son, but his character actually shone through in the end. When he, as we were saying this morning, when he looked to where he should have been looking at, the character of God shone through in him. We saw the character of God for sure in John the Baptist, and last week we saw it in Joseph. And today we see it in Mary. Mary's an interesting character in the Bible because there's extremes with Mary. We either deify her or we pretty much ignore her. We put her in a place that's too low. But Mary is a special person. So she's not deity. She's not God. We don't pray to her. But she's a very special person. Mary carried the Son of God. She carried the Son of God. She raised him. God entrusted her with the Messiah, with raising the Messiah, of creating and building his character and instilling in him good behavior, good practice. And I think as well, it was Mary who taught him as a child about the things of God, about the history of Israel, right? And we find that we get ourselves in a kind of weird place here because we think, well, it's God in human form, so Jesus would know all this stuff anyway. But remember, he's fully God and fully human, and it actually bends our brains a bit. But Jesus would have had to be taught the history. He would have to be taught the scriptures. He would have had to learn what his calling and purpose was. And I believe that the person that did that was Mary, and that God chose her because not only did he trust her to do it, but she was faithful, she knew the history, she knew the scriptures, and she was living it out. So we're going to start with this by saying, like, Mary is a very special character, very special. It says, the Word of God says that she was blessed. She's the most blessed woman, possibly the most blessed person that ever lived. You can't get a higher calling, can you, than to be the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Son of God. And I think we have to look at Mary differently than a lot of other characters in the Bible. This is a special calling, right? Right? You get what I'm saying? Right? So Mary's not just another hero of the faith. She's not just another character. She's something completely different from anyone else that we would talk about in the scriptures. And this story, when Mary appears in the Christmas story, what she gets is like a broadside. We spoke about it with Joseph last week. So she was betrothed to be married. So we spoke about the three stages of engagement and marriage, and they're in this middle thing of betrothment where they're kind of legally married, but they're not living together fully as man and wife. And she's on a path in her life. She knows what she's doing. She's got her husband-to-be. They're probably planning to buy or to get a home, start a family. So she's got a path for her life there. And just as with every intervention of God, God often just rocks up and steps into our everyday life. I mean, actually, you don't have any other kind of life, do you, than an everyday life? But we always talk about that God turns up when it's least expected. But really, you know, when we go through our ordinary, routine, mundane stuff, God does some of his best work. You know, we think that, where we're looking for to hear from God, or we want to hear God's will for our life, or God's call on our life, that we've got to go into some kind of, get into a zone or something. I often think it's like, you know, when you're watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and they're about to ask a question, it goes do-do-do-do, and the lights come down, and we think we have to find a moment like that with God. This is the moment God's going to speak to us. But the reality is, and this is my story, is that God speaks to us in the most ordinary of circumstances. You know, even this visit from the angel, there was nothing public about it. It was pretty spectacular, but God didn't make a public spectacle of this. He sent the angel to Mary in a quiet, normal, routine moment and did something extraordinary. You know, we need to take our eyes away from hype. We need to take our eyes away from the spectacular, right, and get our eyes on the ordinary and let God do the extraordinary, right? We are not extraordinary. We are ordinary, but God is extraordinary, and he'll bring that in. And, you know, and I think, you know, when we sing songs like Coming Back to the Heart of Worship and, you know, humbling ourselves before God, you know, we have to remember who we are and who he is. And Mary, I believe, was an ordinary woman with ordinary dreams and aspirations, and was really had an ordinary plan for her life, that many, probably her friends, her peers, were doing the same thing. But God chose her to do something spectacular in her ordinariness. But actually, where the difference was, God chose Mary because of her faithfulness and her strength of faith. Let's read the story, Luke 1:26. I've got a few verses to read here, so I'll read it all. We'll try and go through this quickly. So Luke 1:26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so this is Elizabeth pregnant with John the Baptist. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman." Right? So already, not greetings, woman, greetings, favored woman. Yeah, so there's something, we know that Mary's special, different. "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true." And then the angel left her. This proclamation of the coming of Jesus to Mary is a declaration that is both beyond us, like beyond our understanding, and yet it's kind of within us because we know the story, right? We know it. And it's at the same time, God, as he did with Mary here, he can bring greater things into our life than our own expectations, our own thinking can imagine. And as I've said, this is in Mary's everyday life. She's got her hopes and her dreams. We know she, as I say, she had this future with Joseph. But in this everyday life comes the incredible, the fantastic, and the surprisingly awesome call of God on her life. And to say that Mary's life was changed forever is probably the biggest understatement we could make. Gabriel's first words bring about the start of this change when he says, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." And in those words, the normality and the routine of Mary's life has gone for good. She's no longer on this track that she had set herself on. That has gone. That dream's gone. And I don't know, Mary was young. She was a teenager when this happened. And we don't know what she was like, but, you know, she's carefree. I mean, anybody had a teenager? Anybody got a teenager? Right? They're pretty, yeah, thanks. They're pretty carefree. They know what they're doing, right? They're very wise. They know everything. And I wonder if maybe Mary was in that kind of zone, that she was quite, you know, carefree, that she's completely consumed and lost in the dreams of her upcoming marriage. Maybe that's what she thinks about most of the time, and looking ahead about the day of celebration when they actually have the wedding and how everybody's going to participate, how she has a husband, Joseph, who like her is also from the line of King David. She might even spend time practicing signing her new signature. She signs Mrs. Joseph. She'll think about Joseph and smile, thinking, "I've got a good man. He's a righteous, good-living man." And she's got all this thrill and excitement and anxiety about as she anticipates her weddings. They've maybe even spoke about baby names that they were planning for. How she'll announce to her family and friends the day that they become pregnant and the joy of a baby coming. And maybe they'll think, well, we'll have a baby eventually. We'll wait a couple of years. We'll get settled, get some money in the bank before starting a family, right? I don't know if that was Mary's situation, but that would be the normality of that kind of thing. But then the angel of the Lord comes and says, "You're favored, the Lord is with you." And actually, Mary's dreams are destroyed. I feel like they collapse. They're gone. These dreams that she had change. They're not there anymore because the angel has declared and proclaimed something completely different. I think Mary is impressive because of how she reacts to this. We saw Zechariah's reaction when the angel told him that his wife was going to give birth in her old age, and he was really in one way like unbelieving and almost dismissive. We saw Joseph, who reacted much better, but was making plans behind the scenes about how he can make this look good, like the reputational thing. How can I make this, how can I make good of a bad, perceived bad situation? But then we see the progress, and when it comes to Mary, the only question that Mary asks is, how are you going to do this? How will this happen? Not, I don't believe it will happen, but God, how are you going to work this out? And the angel declares the Spirit of God will cause it. I think often for us, we need to think about how we respond and react when God speaks to us. Are we like Zechariah, where our initial response is to be kind of dismissive of that cannot happen? Or maybe we're Joseph, where it's like, well, I believe it, God, but I'm going to have to rearrange a few things around my life to make it palatable, to make it appropriate. Or are we just like Mary and say, okay, God, this is the reality of the situation. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to change it? And, you know, I really believe that that's what, when we're talking about character, that we see those three kind of character traits in those three different people. And I believe that as if we've landed at this week on Mary, that God is saying to us, like, this is the character of person that I love. The person who says, God, I see the reality, so what are you going to do about it? And I would just pray that for us, that we wouldn't become despondent when God breaks in and changes our plans. You might think that's a bit of a strange thing to say. But when God calls you to something, changes happen. Changes happen. When Lorraine and I realized, we're very careful about using the word calling, because we never ever wanted to plant a church or lead a church. That wasn't a desire that was in us. It didn't just happen. But we kind of talk about, we just kept saying yes to what God asked us to do. And here's the fruit, right? This is where we landed. But we had to give up dreams. Like, I had to give up a career. I remember the day that I used to be a store manager with Primark. So it was a good job, loved it. I worked with them for 14 years. And I remember, like, the day, I've never been so nervous about the day that I was going to hand my notice in, phone my area manager and say that I'm leaving. It's a great company to work for, by the way. I could recommend it. If you want a great career in retail, that's the guys to go to. Love them, right? But nobody left, because you were looked after, you were paid well. It was a fast, fun, and good environment to work in. Nobody ever left. Store managers didn't leave. And I remember I was nervous doing it. And on the same day that I handed my notice in, within an hour, an email landed in my inbox, and it was an advert saying that they were going to be opening a store in Italy, and they were looking for a store manager. And Lorraine and I had a dream that we wanted to move to Italy one day and do that. And in that moment, I'm sitting there with, this is what God's called me to do, and literally our dream is sitting side by side with it. And I'm like, I was a bit more Joseph than Mary, I've got to say, in that situation. Like, can I manipulate this? Maybe God wants us to plant a church in Italy. But the reason I tell that story is that I realized in that moment that God wants us to give up our dreams, our plans, our futures, the futures that we had painted and planned out. And he said, no, I want you to do this. And the reality is, it's unlikely that we'll ever move to Italy and live that dream. But that's okay, isn't it? That's okay. I'm good with that. Because what we do is, we say, okay, God, how are you going to make this happen? How are we going to live if I give up this job and I'm not going to get paid what I used to get paid? How are we going to get through this? What do we do when everything feels unsettled and new and a bit raw and a bit unpredictable? This is where Mary is. There is confusion. There is fear. And who's not going to have fear when an angel lands on your doorstep? But Mary's response, I think, is because she knows who God is, she knows the scriptures, she knows her history, and she believes that God will cause to make happen what he said will happen, even though it is literally impossible. And I think what God is saying today to us through the story of Mary is, don't rely on your own plans. Don't pursue the route that seems to be the norm or the right thing if God is calling you to something else. You see, one of the one of the mistakes that I think that as believers we often make is that when God says something that's quite radical and new and we struggle to understand, we try to normalize it. We try to rationalize it and make it like an intellectual exercise when actually it's beyond our thinking. It's beyond what our brains can cope with. See, that's what Joseph was doing. He heard this thing. It wasn't he didn't believe God, but he thought, how am I going to shape this into something that looks workable? Mary does a completely different thing. Jesus says, God, how are you going to do this? You know, and it's Mary's faith in God, I think, is the key to who she is and her character. You see, as it was with Mary, it's faith that can remake our lives when God intervenes and changes our dreams, or maybe shatters our dreams. You see, it's when we trust in God's presence that miracles occur when we think that all our hopes have been denied. It's our firm trust in God that causes us not to deny the call that he puts on our lives. You know, we can grasp out our circumstances because it doesn't fit with what God's saying. We can ask 101 questions. We can scream out, bang our head off the wall, and say to God, why, where, how, when. We can do all of that stuff. We can cling to our own dreams, our own passions, our own plans, our own power. We can look up to the heavens and say, no, God, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I've got another plan. I'm on a track here. I want you to bless what I'm doing. I want you to affirm what I'm doing. I want you to go down that road. But what you find there is if we do that, there's no peace. There's no peace. And there's only a growing uneasiness within our heart and soul. And so the way I believe that we are to go, this is what God is saying to us today, is that Mary chose the path of obedience. Mary chose the path of obedience. She said, yes, Lord. It looks impossible. It is impossible, but I'm saying yes. And it's this way of faith that Mary presents, that we see, that brings peace in the moments where we've got storms swirling around our lives. We believe that God is with us, yeah? Right? The angel said, fear not, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And I believe that God is saying to us, like, live knowing that I am with you. Not hoping that I might intervene or I might be around. He is with us. You know, that is one of the pillars of the Christmas story, that God is with us. God was with Mary in the call that he gave her in that moment. And what was the name? What was one of the names that Jesus has given? Emmanuel. God is with us. We receive Jesus and we have a 100% cast iron guarantee that God will never leave us nor abandon us. And even in the moments where we think that God is not speaking to us, he's not hearing us, that we are banging our heads off a brick wall, the truth is, whether we see it, feel it, or know it in that moment, the truth is that God is with us. Yeah? And I really want to encourage you today to live in the reality of that. I really believe that that's where God is going to move. It's when his people understand, believe, and live like God is with us. We certainly sensed this morning that we believed that God was with Ruth when he's providing £36,000 worth of funding, didn't we? Right? We believe that God is with us when we overreach our target for the gift cards and that more kids are going to be blessed this Christmas. But what about when it's bad news? What if the money didn't come through and then me and Ruth are having a different conversation about the food pantry? Do we still believe God is in it? Or do we say, well, I think this is maybe the end of the road, it's time to pack up and go? You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? God is with you. He's with you. I want to talk about Mary's song, but I'm not going to get there today. If God is with you, he will walk with you through anything and everything. He's there. When God calls you, he promises to be with you every step of the way. So we have to let him lead. And God has declared, and he does this time and time again throughout the scriptures, God has declared that the miraculous will come out of the ordinary. That's why we don't need to wind things up in our worship. That's why we don't need to hype things up or press on people when we're praying and shout at people when we're praying. God comes in the ordinary. We have seen God do miraculous things in this church, and we've never done it with shouting and screaming. Right? We pray, we ask God to come, and God comes and does incredible things in the ordinary. God has shown us that which is far beyond us is already emerging within us. Mary's dreams were shattered. Her hopes that she had were denied. Her plans were unraveled. But God gave her new hopes, new dreams, and new plans that were going to lead to the salvation of you and I and of this world. So like I said last week, we don't know what the outcome is. We don't know what we don't know what may happen down the line, things we can't see, that ripple effect when we say yes to God. What effect that has on one person and the effect they have on another. Or that one person we speak to, what they may become, what God can do through them. So my encouragement is that as you seek God today and over the coming days, ask him to make you like sensitive and open to his leading. Maybe go back to this story of Mary and Gabriel. Read over her hymn of joy that we haven't got time to look at today, and hold on to those powerful words from Gabriel when he says, with God, nothing is impossible. Mary took those words and was obedient to be what God had called her to be. She experienced the impossible become possible. And when God's will is made clear in your life and you're obedient to it, you ready? Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. This isn't news, is it? You know that. You know this. But the reality is that we can see the impossible happen. With God, nothing is impossible. So let's learn to fear not. And let's learn to believe and live as if the Lord is with us. Yeah? Amen. Why do we stand?